Man, today I really got it easy because I'm really going to piggyback off everything Pastor Steph said last week. I mean, it was so good. I think I've watched it 3 or 4 times. So as I was preparing, but I'm like, it's just so much good stuff. Maybe I'll just borrow a little bit of that. So I got to tell you up front. So if you catch me slipping, you can be like, well, at least he said he was going to use some of her stuff. But there was a line she said that really just stuck out to me. And it says, surrender gets you out and sacrifice gets you in. So I was like, okay, let me just think on that for a moment. Surrender gets you out, sacrifice gets you in. So if you're taking notes today, the title of my sermon is going to be Give and Go. Come on, look at somebody and say, Give and Go. Now, Give and Go is a basketball term if you ever play any b-ball. Me and my buddy A-Dog used to play Alicia's brother and his friend Brian back in the day, and we would work those boys, no lie. And most of our points came from the classic Give and Go, right? You got the ball, you throw it in, hit that screen, straight to the basket, easy layup. Like it was so bad, they didn't even want to play us anymore. And I know what you're thinking, I can still play, yes. Okay, about 8 people believe that. It's fine. But this is what it made me think about. Surrender gets you out, right? So give and go, giving gets you out. It made me think about surrender gets you out of bondage, gets you out of everything. When you surrender your life to Christ, when you give everything up to him, like, that's you giving, and then says sacrifice gets you in. To me, that's the going. So we're really going to talk a lot about sacrifice today. What is God calling you to sacrifice as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, as you're following him on this journey? To me, it is a lot about giving and going because you can't do one without the other. Now, if I throw the ball in, but I don't cut to the basket, guess what? The give and go don't work, right? So it's the same way to me. Like, if you give your life to Christ, that is awesome. But what do you do after that moment? Let me tell you what, guys. If you don't know, now you know. Salvation is a free gift. Amen? God sent his son to the world because he loved you that much to pay the ultimate price. And again, if you didn't catch last week, go back and watch it. As Pastor Steph talked about the outer courts, the inner courts, the Holy of Holies. Man, the veil was torn. We now have direct access to the Father. Amen? You don't have to go through anyone. You don't got to sacrifice anything. You give your heart and your life to Jesus, and in that instant, guess what? Your new destination is heaven. Amen? Now, she read 1 Peter 2 and 5, so we're going to hit that again. It says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, we know we are a holy priesthood, right? We know God is raising us up. Now we're the holy priests. We can enter in to that holy place. And this is something we tell your kids about all the time. Like, you don't have to wait until Sunday to talk to Jesus. I don't know about you, but it's nice to know, kids, like, you can talk to Jesus on the bus. You can talk to him in your classroom, in your bedroom. Like, anywhere you go, you have direct access. Amen? And I don't know how cool you think that is, but it makes me think about even Michael Jordan. Of course, he's going to come up. But, like, I would love to have direct access. What, isn't there people just in your world that you're like, man, if I could just text them or call them? But most of the time, you got to go through this assistant that you never get the real person. You know, it's kind of like, have you ever got someone verified that you like maybe liked one of your posts, but, and you get all excited. If it's not, it's happened to me. And then I'm like, I know it's not them doing it. They probably got a team of people in a room. But for that moment, you're like, they saw me? They liked what I, wait, no, they didn't. It's kind of like that to me. But as priests, there are requirements. There's things we have to do. Now, again, salvation is your starting point, amen? I'm telling you, it all starts with you giving your life to him. But what do you do after that? So we're going to talk about a couple different types of sacrifices, and I like to think of them as internal and external. So there's things you sacrifice in here, but they should move you to action. And internal and external sacrifices work hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. So let me explain a little bit. But first, let's look at Matthew 16, 24 and 25. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So again, in this scripture, it's telling you got to deny yourself right off the bat. So what is that saying is you have to give of yourself. I got to sacrifice what Bunk wants to do today in order to do what God is calling me to do today. And once I internalize that and realize, like, that's what today's about, guess what? Now I pick up my cross and I follow Christ. Amen? And let me tell you what, this is an everyday event. Amen? I don't know about you, but it's every day. Sometimes it's moment to moment. It's from store to store. as you guys are out Christmas shopping, I'm sure you're going to maybe have a little attitude in one store. Guess what? You need to get things right before you go in the next one. Amen? I don't know about y'all. Maybe that's just me. But, man, I just be messing up all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like my heart, my mind, things get in the way. You know, I told Mr. Rincon, Mr. Cato, our worship pastor yesterday, I was going to throw his laptop in the lake. Yeah, that's Pastor Bunk for you. Right? Messing up. Why? Because if your heart's not right, if you're not denying yourself and going, okay, God, today I got to pick it up every day and realize I want to follow after you. And let me tell you, it's hard if no one's told you. It's hard. Let me tell you what, giving your life to Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make. And I pray someone in this room makes that decision today if you've never made it. But I'm not going to tell you it's just easy and rainbows and sunshine after that. You still have to walk this out daily. And he's saying here, look, decide it in your heart. I'm telling you, decide right now. God, I want to live for you. And then you make steps to run towards that. God, I'm going to live for you today. What does that look like? Maybe I'm not watching what I used to watch. Because God is just getting in the way. And realize that, you know, there's going to be times that God asks you, as Pastor James was saying about our offering, God may be saying, our tithe is 10th, but he may be speaking to you to give 80, to give 90, to give whatever. The same way God may be asking you, hey, I need you to lay this down for this season. Because it's really just getting in the way of me and you. And sometimes we're like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Do we got any Netflix bingers, Hulu, Paramount, you name it? Right? We have so many apps. I don't know if you're like me. I literally go through every app and scroll everything and there's nothing on TV, right? Yeah, it's amazing how you can do that. But it made me think like, God may be like, all your time is spent doing that when maybe you should spend a little bit more time with me. I don't know about you, but I don't like to hear that either. Now, Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. I can remember 30 years ago, working in a restaurant, telling someone that exact verse and going, that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm just going to seek God and everything will work out from there. I'm not saying it won't, but like I never did it that way. But I remember the principle of thinking like, we're trying to work and do all this thing ourselves, but we're doing it without God. Like if we seek God first, marriage isn't working quite like it should. We're arguing or this and that. Like, are you seeking the Lord? I ain't got time for that. You hear the way she talks to me? Like, you know what I'm saying? No offense, ladies. You know what I'm saying. But sometimes what it is, we're reacting to these results, but there's no time with the Lord, which would fix all of that. And I know it sounds crazy, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but I don't like to hear that either. You know how when you just want to tell somebody something, they're like, well, have you prayed about it? And you're just like, don't tell me that. Just tell me how I'm right. Right? Agree with me that they shouldn't have done X. But he's saying here, you know what? Everything is found in him. And you know what's the crazy part about it to me? It's the simplest answer, but we just don't believe it. I don't know about you, but I'm very skeptical about a lot of things. If you know me, there's a lot of things I'm like, I don't trust that. Hey, try this. Nope, I don't trust that. Nope, won't do it. Jesus, we know Jesus is the answer. But I don't know about you, but in my life, I find sometimes he's the last resort. He's not the first step. And I know for us guys in the room, let's be honest, most guys are a little stubborn and a little hard-headed, and we like to fix things ourselves. And I don't know how many times that I've went and tried to do things my way, only to go back and realize, man, if I would have given it to Jesus in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have created the mess that I'm now in. Amen? You know, so when you start your day out with God, everything changes. Like about a month ago, I went to get a car wash, and I don't know why there's car washes all around me, but I go to a car wash in Friendswood next to Audi and Planet Fitness. You know that car wash? Anyway, I go during my lunch breaks, I'm like, I can get a car wash, and I'm going to run across 528 and eat at Wendy's. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't feel like running across the road today. So this day I went, I'm like, is this kind of like Frogger? Like 528, there's like them people be flying. And I felt a little off my game. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to go out, no offense, running to get a hamburger. I get it. People's like, we can see it. But I was like, no, no. So there's a Jack in the Box in the same shopping center. So I walk to the Jack. And just for the record, I don't really like Jack in the Box. They do have good egg rolls. That's just me. So anyway, I walk into this Jack in the Box and I place my order and I'm waiting. And a lady from our church named Melissa's in there too. And we're like, what's up? Da-da-da. We're just small talking. And the lady working the counter says something our way. I don't really hear. We're not really paying attention. So we just kind of agree with her, right? Which is never a good thing, just so you know. Don't agree with anything. Remember the last time I got my eyebrows? Yeah, it's the whole thing. So then this lady goes, well, that was very rude of you guys to post that online. And I'm like, us? Yeah. Y'all are the ones that were in here. You just said you were the ones that were in here last night and y'all gave us that bad review. I'm like, oh, no. I thought you meant like our food's ready. I didn't give no review. And we're like, that's crazy, huh? A few minutes later, she's like, yeah, hey, they're here again. I'm like, no. That's not us. Not us. No review. Like, what is it? We're like, this is crazy. And then the manager gets there. You can tell he's like dressed up a little nicer. And she's like, hey, that's them. And I'm like, we're from here to here. I'm like, hello, not us. Did not leave a review. Love you. Love Jack in the Box. So we get our food. And now I'm like, I don't know if I can eat this. Because if they think I'm the bad review guy, there's no telling what's in here. And as we're leaving, she's like, you guys have a great day. And then the manager's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, nothing to be sorry for. It's not us. And the reason I tell you that is because that situation could have easily went south. And if it wasn't so funny to me, maybe I would have got a little turn up. I tend to do that. I tend to run a little bit hotter than most people. But because I was having a good Jesus day, like things didn't get out of control, which normally happened in my life. The one thing I can't remember is if I had an LS Church shirt on. More than likely I did, and that's why I handled it very chill. You know, it's like even when you guys came in today, like, I don't know about you, but I've come to church on days I didn't feel like being here. I've come into worship, and the worship team's giving it all they got, and you're just like, oh, just be over. I just want to sit. I know, you've never felt that way. I'm just telling you how it is. But sometimes we bring a sacrifice of worship. What does that mean? It's like, God, I don't feel like it, but guess what? I'm doing it because you're good. Doesn't matter how I feel today. God, I'm not doing this because I'm wanting something from you. God, you are worthy for what you've done in my life. So I'm going to give you a sacrifice of worship. And I don't know about you, but as Pastor Steph would say, it hits different when you give them sacrifices of worship. When you're like, it's easy to worship on the mountaintop. Amen? When things are going good, praise the Lord. God is good. But what happens when things aren't working out your way? Like, that's that sacrifice. That's that give. You got to give so you can go. You got to give it here so you can go into what God has for you. So there's times you even come to church. Let me tell you what. Everyone in this room, Pastor James said it, thank you for being here. Guess what? Every one of you guys could have said, we sleeping in today. We all have a reason. Everybody has a reason to not be here. But you sacrificed and came. And I want you to know that matters. That's part of living this life after Christ. For some of us in this room, this is the only time we spent with the Lord all week. And I get you, been there, done that. There's nothing wrong with that. We're glad you're here. But what I'm saying is sometimes we have to push through and sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? Our rest, right? We're sacrificing. We're getting our kids to the house of the Lord. Why? Because it's important to show them that faithfulness matters, right? It's just, let me tell you what, if you got kids, you know what it's like getting your kids ready, right? Nobody wants to get dressed. Once they get dressed, they're spilling something on what they're wearing. You got to change again. It's so easy to stay home. But I want you to know, man, it is so important that we sacrifice for the Lord. Let me tell you what, salvation is a free gift, guys. I don't want you to lose that today. But I'm telling you, our walk with the Lord is going to cost us something. Depending on how far you want to go. Surrender gets you out. Sacrifice gets you in. You can go as far as you want in this relationship. Now, James, one thing I like about the book of James, just like Pastor James, is very straight and very direct. So James 2:26 says it like this. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And the way I look at this is what it is our faith in Jesus should move us to action. Like, if you've heard that Jesus is the Savior of the world and you believe that, there's no way you can not do nothing with it. You have to tell someone about that, right? If you come to church every Sunday, you're just continuing. We use the analogy of our cup being full. There comes a point that cup has to now pour out. Amen? So that's what we have to do. You know, we can look through the Bible. There's so many different people that, again, walked out their faith. And again, I want to encourage you guys today, because sometimes this is what happens is it's easy to get stagnant, easy to go through the motions of like, I go to church, I know this, I know what I'm supposed to do, but like, man, we should be running to meet the needs of people because we have the answer, amen? So it says, if we have faith, if we believe God is everything we sing about, if we believe revival is coming, let me tell you what, we need to get some people in this room. Why? I don't want them to miss revival. I don't want my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, my friends, my coworkers. You know what I'm saying? It puts an urgency in you to realize, like, if I truly believe what this book says, and I truly believe the way that Jesus has transformed my life, how can I hang out with people that don't know that or not living in the fullness God has for them without at least sharing it with them? Amen? So I'm telling you, your faith should move you to action. Amen? You know, I was thinking about that story in the Bible with those four guys that carry their friend who's paralyzed and they bust through the roof. I love that story. I just love the thought of that, of busting out a roof to drop your friend down so that he could be healed. And I think about those four guys that have probably heard what Jesus could do. And it don't really tell you, like, I don't know what the fifth guy was thinking. I don't know if he's like, look, this is just the cards I've been dealt. I don't know that. But what I do know is somebody in that friend group got it in here and goes, let me tell you what, that guy Jesus heals people. And if we can get homeboy over there. So they had to decide in their heart. Now, they could have easily sat around like, you know, I bet Jesus would heal them. You know what? I bet he would. Yeah, no way to get him there. He don't walk. That's not funny, Jess. But you know what I'm saying? Like that could have happened. That literally could have happened. But they said, hold up. You think? I tell you what, hey, let's carry him. For real? Yeah, let's do it. All right. And I can imagine the excitement walking up to where Jesus is, and all of a sudden now you see, like, you know how it is when you go to a concert or a game and the crowd's like, you got to wait in line to get in, and you're like, oh my gosh. That's what they saw, just crowds of people. And it would have been easy at that moment again to be like, bro, this ain't happening. We tried. We got you as close as we could, but I want to know which one of them goes, I got an idea. Everybody's got a friend in their, you know, in their friend group that goes, hey, I got an idea. I say this a lot. I say, look, you ain't going to like this, but what if we tore the roof off that house? It's cool that he got everyone to go along with it, right? So they lowered this man. So why am I telling that story? Because, like, he took his faith and he moved into action. And then this guy was healed. Amen. Now, Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, so God is preparing us for works of service. God is preparing us to go out and be his hands and feet in the world. Amen. We know in the Bible, it also says, what is the pastor's job? The pastor is to equip the saints for what? Works of service. You come in here to get encouraged. Why? Not to lift your, only to lift your spirits. Let me tell you what, there's a time you come in on Sunday. And let me tell you what, you may need a touch from the Lord. Amen. We all do. Bring it, Jesus. Send it. We need Holy Spirit, move. But I'm telling you, God don't want what to happen in this room to just stay here. Like, let's shut the doors and keep it all in here. He goes, no, you need to carry that out to lunch with you. You need to carry that to your job, to your family. What I'm doing, I'm starting here, but you got to take this thing out. You know, again, James again hits it again in 1:22. He says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. What is he saying? Like, don't just listen to it all. It shouldn't move you to action. Amen? Like, it should. It just should. Like, the goodness of God, like, man, God, look at what you've done in my life. How do I not share that with people? And if you know me, man, I'm telling you, every summer camp, I'm telling my life story. I'm doing all this. I can't help it. Me and my son was talking. He's like, you know, Dad, every time you preach, you always go back to this story. I'm like, I know. You know why? I can't help it. I'm not going to do it today, though. I'm going to try not to. But I can't. Why? Because, like, it's what God done for me. And it makes me want to, like, shout it from the rooftops. It makes me want to have my own little series on TV. Come on, I'd look good on camera. I'm just saying. But it made me think, as Pastor Steph mentioned last week, she talked about, like, going to a Rockets game and getting this all-access pass. And if you don't know, I like the Rockets. You got some tickets, holler at your boy. But I've been to plenty of Rockets games. I know how to sneak all around that arena. I can tell you how to get to the suites, the club level. Just so you know that, I've never been in the suites longer than a minute before I got kicked out. So security for the suites is top-notch. But if you're wondering, get in the elevator and tell them you're going to the White Wine Bistro. That'll put you on the club level and you can just go right down the escalator. No? Okay. Just throwing it out there. But anyway, so I'm the type of guy that goes, let me find the cheapest ticket. I'll find my own seat. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Monk, you used to do that a long time ago. It happened about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, but this time I only moved up about 8 rows. I only had to move back 8 rows when I got kicked out. But I don't know if you've ever been to a sporting event and when the usher comes up and goes, let me see your ticket, and you know you're in the wrong seat, and you're like, what? You mean this isn't row G? And they're like, not even close, sir. Back there, you're like. So then you and your wife take that walk of shame. And the whole time you're looking at your tickets, you want everyone else to know, like, silly me. Now, normally I got the nosebleeds, right? And I would do that. Well, like 2 weeks ago, we went to the game. And Breezy and Amanda was there, so they were sitting like really good seats. They snuck up and got even better seats. So we went right by them, and we were good. Whole first quarter. But let me tell you what you find out when you're sneaking around the Rockets. You know what's really fun? Oh, side note. Take some friends there and don't tell them they're sneaking around. And when they get moved, oh, it's funny. It's really funny. So anyway, we sneak up there the whole first quarter. We're fine. Second quarter, these two ladies come out. Now, this is the thing, though. When you're sneaking and you're sitting in seats that aren't yours, you're always looking over your shoulder. Everyone that walks up is a potential. It's about to bust up your game, right? So, like, you're watching the game, but you're like, oh, my gosh. And some people just can't handle the nerves, but I'm like, it's fun. Well, these two ladies come out, and the usher looks at their tickets and looks at us. And then, you know, you just don't make eye contact then. Just, sir, sir. And then you got to do the whole ticket thing, and you get moved back. And they were only there for, like, 5 minutes, and they left. I'm like, are you kidding me? They blew up my whole spot for 5 minutes. And then in the second quarter, they came back out for what? About 5 minutes. I'm like, wasted these good seats. But then it made me think, you know what? I don't see the value in the sacrifice it took to get those seats. They paid way more money than I did. Like, those are their seats. They can come and go as they want. They made the sacrifice for those seats. And to be honest, I wasn't willing to make that sacrifice. Monetarily, I'm like, it's not worth it to me. So guess what that means? I'm running from the ushers, right? I'm embarrassed, like walk of shame. The whole nine happens. Now you may be saying, what are you talking about? Well, this is what I'm talking about is sometimes we see other people in the body of Christ and we're like, man, God's doing so much in their life. He's doing nothing in mine. And we think we don't know the sacrifices they've made to get where they are. You know what I'm saying? Because there's, I don't know about you, but there's been times I'm like, God, I know I'm not reading the word like I should. Man, I know I'm not really interceding and praying. God, I haven't fasted and I don't know how long. I'm fasting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the thing. But you know what I'm saying? And then you're like, why is things not working out? Because I'm really putting nothing in. So when those people would come and you know, I feel the same way. I was a season ticket holder for like a season or two and way up top. But I was in the building. But I can remember looking down and all the good seats would always be empty. I'm like, so I was going to create an app called Hook a Brother Up. So this is what you do. If you have really good tickets, because they always leave early, you put it on there and you could hook somebody up from the nosebleeds. No takers. Okay. But it made me think as I'm sitting there looking, it's like, I didn't see the value in that. I wanted it, but I didn't want to sacrifice anything to get there. Amen? And hopefully you can see where this is going, because again, that's how I feel sometimes. Sometimes I say, God, I want everything you have for me. But I can only come to church once a month at best. I don't have time to read. I don't have time to pray. God, you just need to magically make this stuff happen. That's how, again, this is not you. This is me. And I feel like, God, I'm not sacrificing anything for you, and you gave everything for me. God, it's not costing me anything. Is my Christianity based on because you are so good? You know, the church I was at in Florida, we planted 30 churches in India. And one of the problems we had with our pastors over there is it came down, they said, where if you're professing Christianity, you have to pay for your kids to go to school. So we had pastors going, okay, we're Hindu, because they didn't have the money to pay for their kids. Like, I'm like, there's people on this planet now, it's costing them something to follow Christ. And again, thank the Lord, we are where we are. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad we're in Texas. But it makes you think, like, what would my faith be if it started costing me? Like, really pushing me? Like, again, I'm asking myself this. I'm like, man, you're following Jesus, right? But is it because it's so easy? What are you willing to give up for the Lord? Man, I'm having trouble just giving up my time, Lord. I'm having trouble waking up. I'm having trouble doing, you know what I'm saying? So again, it just makes me look inside and go, man, if again, for what God has done for you, Bunk, the way he's changed and transformed your life, and he's got so much for you, and it's just waiting on you to go and get it. I can't, man. I'm on Survivor season 39 right now. Got to finish it. So I'm going to binge all my free time and like, oh, maybe I'll read tomorrow. Maybe I'll catch a podcast in between. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes God is calling you to sacrifice something to get to where he wants you to go. And I just want us to be aware today. Again, This is for me today. That I'm like, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm like, God, I want to do big things for you, and I want to do this. And I was like, all right. What are you willing to give up? Nothing. Come on, right? I want to be courtside. Was quadruple the price. Oh, no, I'm good. I'll just watch them back here. You know what I'm saying? Let's go a little further. It's almost like D.C. If you don't know about D.C., it's a discipleship club. It happens during our continuing education. And we've been teaching our first through fifth graders, man, just books of the Bible, memorizing scripture, all these crazy things. Like, and I'm telling you, they're amazing. The scriptures these kids are learning, like, I'm having to learn scripture because I got to be able to know if they get it right. You know what I'm saying? So it's making me work harder. It's a win all the way around. But again, let me tell you what. It's a sacrifice to get your kid here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I know it. We have a bunch of teenagers that come and help us with these kids. Sacrificing. I know it. But I'm telling you, it's making such a difference in the lives of those kids. And let me tell you what, it's not easy. It's very inconvenient. I get it. Those of you guys that show up to continuing ed, it's inconvenient, right? Like, I just got off work. I'm running late. I get it. But I'm telling you, sometimes, man, we got to step out of what's comfortable. You know, Mike Todd had this quote that I thought was really cool. It says, choose your sacrifices. Either you will sacrifice your purpose or your pleasure. The choice is yours. And I was like, oh, that is so good. Again, most of the time, for me, I don't want to sacrifice anything. Why? Because it's going to mess up what I do. And I don't know if we're any guys like, I just want to get home and hit that recliner, right? Worked all day, just want to chill for a moment, and that moment turns into hours. And I'm like, God, maybe tomorrow I'll make time for you. Again, to come into church, like I said earlier, like, you guys are here. Man, that's amazing. Coming to the house of the Lord is very important in your Christian walk. And sometimes this is what we think as believers. We're like, look, I'm doing good this week. I'm good. I got it all together. Let me tell you what. Come for someone else. Join a group for someone else. Maybe you're like, man, I've got this faith thing on lockdown. Let me tell you what. God may be pulling you and wanting you to sacrifice your time to join a group. You know why? Because someone in that group needs what you've been through to get them to the other side. You know what I'm saying? So we got to realize it's not always about us. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a time, I believe it, there's a time you need to come in and like, God, I need you to restore what's broken in me. Man, God, you need you to get me back on track. I've suffered a loss. I've suffered a heartbreak. Things have happened in my life. But once God mends those, he wants to put you back out. He wants you to give and so you can go. Amen? Let's talk about the Christmas train. We're rolling tonight. Let me tell you what, man, that is a sacrifice for so many people to make that train happen. It's huge. 100 volunteers a night. Volunteers that are sacrificing their Christmas season to make an impact of Jesus of thousands. We know there's close to 30,000 train riders. Not to count the people that don't ride the train. I'm telling you, thousands of people get to hear the gospel. Like, this is like foreign country crusades to me. Like, really what we get to be a part of. And let me tell you what, it's easy when you're like, bro, I'm just making dough. Let me tell you what, we all play a part in what God is doing. But if you don't have it from here, and this is what I'm saying, like, and this is something that we even talk about as a staff. We talk about all that. If your heart's not right, you're going to feel like you're going over there to work. And your temper is even shorter. And you feel underappreciated, and you may be in here and go, well, I'm going to go to the train because, man, Pastor James seems pretty cool when I met him at men's breakfast. But what's going to happen is if you're not doing it from the right place, when Pastor James don't come by and talk you up and pat you on your back enough, you're going to get upset. You're going to be like, well, I'm doing this for him, and he didn't even care. He just walked by and gave me a head nod. I'm a head nodder too. What's up? You know what I'm saying? But when you're doing it from the right place, you realize, God, I'm doing this for you. That's how you get through that. The problem is we get it backwards. We're like, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to feel good. No. If you're not right here, if you're not, God, I'm doing this for you. God, I'm joining a team here and I'm going to serve. Why? Not because my friend asked me. Because, God, I know what you're calling me to do. God, you've given to me. Now it's time for me to go. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I got to remind myself of that all the time. Why are you doing what you're doing, Bob? You want someone to notice what you're doing? Because you're never going to be happy. It's like social media. How many post likes are enough post likes? And I know some people that they post, if they don't get the likes, they delete and they repost. Those people drive me crazy, right? Like, come on, enough already. I'm one of those guys that screenshots and will be like, you know, you posted this like 4 days in a row. What's up? Yeah, I like to call them out, but you know what I'm saying. But this is what it made me think about, those sacrifices. We're not willing to give those. You know, my back was hurting a couple weeks ago for like 3 weeks straight. Like, I'm like, you know, doing that back walk. You know, you kind of, well, I'm not a doctor guy, okay? I don't like doctors. I don't like any of that. So my son finally taught me. They said, you got to go to the chiropractor. I'm like, I ain't going to the chiropractor. They'd be snapping people's necks. Mm. Well, he finally talked me into it. My wife went with me to make sure I went. So I go there, and I'm like, I know, right? I'm like a kid, like, all right, Mom, let's go to the doctor. So I'm sitting in the waiting room, just, you know, anyway. So they take me back to a room, and all the doors are wide open. People are super nice. So I'm sitting in this room, me and my wife, and across from me, another guy and his wife, and we do the nod. We're both in the doctor's office with our wife. What's up? Well, this guy comes in and goes, all right, man, just take your shirt off real quick. And I'm like, what's that? See, I know you can't tell from your seats, but I'm not summer ready yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, shirt off. Door's open, shirt off. Okay. Yeah, just take your shirt off, man. Lay down right here. I'm like, all right, I'm going to put this tinge thing on your back, and the more you can withstand, the better it'll be. I'm like, oh, challenge. Got you. So he's like, I'm just going to keep bumping it. You tell me when it's good. When you can't take no more. I'm like, bet. Now, I don't know what it ended on, but he's just doing this. I'm just like, finally, I'm like, yep. So we do that for a minute, and I think that's it. And he's like, all right, man, come on. We're going to go get you a massage. Never had a massage. I don't know if I like no massage. Anyway, he's like, yeah, don't worry about putting your shirt on. Just follow me. I'm like, hold up. You finna prance me around here like I'm some kind of show? And let me tell you what, that's what he did. And I'll be honest, I was very uncomfortable. Like, that's just not me. I'm just walking around. They're like, and these, they're so nice. You know how, like, nice people, they stop and talk to everyone, and I'm just the guy with no shirt behind them? Hey, Tom, how was your weekend? I'm like, yeah. So we do this whole thing. We get this massage. Anyway, finally, I get to put a shirt on. I tell you, the massage hurt so bad, the guy asked me what I did. I'm like, pastor, kids? He's like, what age group? I couldn't even tell. I couldn't even think. My wife had to answer for me. Yeah, she was there for that, too. But anyway, the reason I'm telling you that is because it's really like working out. Like, if I was in shape, I would have went in there with my shirt off. We're like, yo, who wants to rub this? Right? But I'm not. Why? Simple. I didn't put in the work. Like, I didn't do anything. I wanted the result. Like, I say it every time I preach. Like, I want to get in shape so bad. But I like Dr. Pepper and Reese cups, and it's a battle. But I really don't want it that bad, or I would change. Let's be honest. We got a phenomenal gym here, workout room, and I was like, my excuse was, once the room gets ready, I'm ready. The room has been ready. But what I'm saying is, I'm not seeing the value in it. I'm not sacrificing to do that, so I can't be upset that I don't receive the benefits. Like, I'll be honest, I don't want to take my shirt off, right? Why? Because I know I haven't put in the work. And I know there's even times in my faith that I look around at what God is doing around other people and just doing in his church in general, the big church, and I'm like, man, God, I want to be a bigger part of what you're doing in this world. But I'm like, and again, not that God's withholding anything, but like, I'm not sacrificing anything, God, to get closer to you. God, do I know you any better than I knew you a month ago, a year ago? Like, I know of you, but do I really know you? Have I sacrificed my time to dig into your word to really let you speak to me? God, when I come into worship, do I just block out what's happened this week and just focus on you for these songs? God, am I praying in my own time? God, am I speaking life to my family? Am I representing you everywhere I go as a holy priest? Am I doing that? You know, Craig Rochelle says this, sacrifice is giving up something you love for something you love even more. And I think, again, we're all on a different journey in this room. That's what's cool about our faith. We're all at different spots. We've all been following the Lord for different times where some of us are closer, some of us are not. Wherever we find ourselves, but I just love that. And it made me think about, God, I need to start laying some things down so I can get closer to you. And it makes me think that sometimes we just forget what it was like. You know, about 10 years ago, I preached my first message on this stage. And it was based out of this scripture in Revelations 2:4. And he's speaking to the church, and he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And I've always loved that scripture because it takes me back to the beginning. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, and man, I was crazy on fire for Jesus. I can remember just wanting to tell the world. I can remember working my job, and my goal was to see how many people from my job I could get to come to church. I was witnessing to people. One time, I dressed up like a clown and just stood on the street corner to wave at cars. I know, it's creepy, right? Yeah. I'm not saying they're all good ideas, okay? But what I'm saying is, I can remember what that excitement was like. And I can remember even being a seasoned Christian before and seeing those new Christians so gung-ho and thinking, it's going to wear off. Oh, that's the worst. Why do I want that to wear off? But it happens. Why? Life gets busy. Things happen. But I don't know about you. Can you just go back to that moment? Do you go back to like that first encounter with Jesus when like everything was new? And you realize, hold on. You're talking about the God of heaven and earth. The God who created everything. Loves me. So much that he sent his son as a free gift for all the wrong I've done. What? Let's go. And just being so excited about that revelation in my life. Amen? You know, it's a lot like relationships, right? Those of you that you were probably a different guy when you were dating than what you are now if you've been married with some years on you, right? Again, I used to buy flowers 24/7. I was a flower giver, always brought flowers, wrote notes, done all these things, opened car doors. How many of you guys have opened car doors on first dates? Oh, it's like, hey, don't incriminate yourself, but I just want you to think about this. How many of you guys open car doors now? That's all I'm saying. Me neither. But it made me think about this. When I first gave my life to Jesus, everything was so new. Everything was so exciting. What happened to me? I started learning the system. I wasn't quite in it as much. Like I don't know what happened, but in the scripture when he says you've lost your first love, sometimes we got to go back to the beginning. Where did this thing start out? How pure was it back then? And it made me think of relationships, and being I did this 10 years ago, I thought I would do it once again. I went and found some notes from 30 years ago, and just thought I would share a little love note with you guys today, just to show you, like, this is what it looks like back in the beginning. See, back in the day, you do things you may not do now, so I'm going to read you just a little something-something I put out there to my lovely wife 30 years ago. Younger gentleman in the room, take some notes. All right, it says, you mean more to me than I can say. I think about you every day. I know I got bars. I know that sometimes things ain't the way they should be. And I know that's because of me. I like you so much, I get scared and don't know what to do. I guess I could just say, I love you. Just remember, no matter what I say or do, my life ain't worth living unless it's with you. I know sometimes I don't show how I feel, but believe me, my love for you is real. Let's go. Come on, somebody. Now, that's a 30-year-old note. Now, I haven't wrote notes like that in quite a minute. But while we're on the subject, how about I read a note from Miss Alicia to me? Oh, wrong one. Oh, Miss, she may get out of it. She may get out of it. Don't tell me. Oh, there it is. Way nicer handwriting than me. I promise this means something biblically. We're getting there. January 1st, 1992. She even put the date on here. And I shouldn't say this, but she used to call me Bunny, just so you know. Anyway, I really don't know how to tell you what I want to tell you. So I'm writing it down. For the longest time, I guess I fought these feelings I had for you. Why? I'm not really sure. Maybe it was that you don't have a big truck, or you aren't a college guy. Yeah, that's right. But that doesn't matter. What matters is no matter how hard I tried to fight it, I fell for you anyhow. Yes, you did. You may not care anymore, but I still want you to know. Because if I were you, I would have given up hope a long time ago. But you kept on fighting. And I'm sorry if I hurt you. I didn't mean to. If you still care, you know how to find me. Right? Tell me about it. So, I know. We done sidetracked this whole message. I get it. Let's get back to it. But hopefully that illustrates, and hopefully you can take it if you're in a relationship, that there were things you used to do in the beginning that are crazy embarrassing now that you're like, oh my gosh. All of you now is like, I'm going to hide all the notes. Right? But what it is, it was the love you had for that person made you do some crazy things. Right? Made you step outside of yourself, and which I'm still spitting bars, so you know that's been with me for a minute, but it makes you think, like, in the beginning, all those things come from such a pure place. And it's not that I don't love my wife, but sometimes the routine, oh man, I don't, she's already on that side of the car, she can open it. I'm just saying, you know, like we walked out the store, it was parked right there. I'm just saying, sometimes those things, you don't even realize that you're not doing them anymore. Again, I don't know about you, but I feel that way sometimes in my walk with Christ. God, I know I'm supposed to go to church. I know I'm supposed to read. I know that, but ultimately I know you love me, so it's all good. But there's just no sacrifice. There's no closeness. There's no intimacy in knowing who God is and the plans he has for my life, because God's running to me and I'm like, I just don't have time. Right? It doesn't change the way I feel about her. I love her, but like, she don't know that if I don't. Now, don't get me wrong, she knows. She knows a little bit. If I never tell her, I mean, I know he does, but he just never says it. Like, it makes you wonder. Like, I know God's for me, but is he? I mean, I haven't spent any time with him. I mean, I know he loves me. What I'm saying is sometimes there's no sacrifice in our life of going after what God has for us. And if we truly understand, God is calling us to go as deep as we want to go. That's another cool thing, man. Like God loves you. You're heaven bound. Guess what? If you believe in Jesus, I'll see you all there. And that's awesome. But how are we getting there? Who are we taking with us? What is that journey like? Let me tell you what. Me and my wife don't sit back and go, hey, we've almost been married 30 years. That's awesome. We retell the stories that got us here. Do you remember when you were dating your significant other and like you were broke? And he was eating something gross, but it didn't matter because it was just you. Man, I can remember, and I know that church was crazy back in the day. We had services like 18 times a week, but I can remember like going to revival after revival. And like, wow, I was chasing God and just wanted him so much. That's what it's like to me. It's that first love. It's that, man, back in the beginning. And sometimes for me, I have to remind myself of this scripture. I have to go back. You know, in Genesis 13, 1 and 4, I was talking about Abram here. It says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that had and he had and Lot with him. To the south, Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. And he went on this journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And Abram called on the name of the Lord. So here's Abram like, look, I don't know what's going on, but let me tell you what, I'm going to go back to where it started. Some of you in this room, you may be like, man, I feel like God's a million miles away. Let me tell you what, reach out and call his name. I'm telling you, he's right there. He's right there. Sometimes people say, Pastor Buck, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I'm telling you, spend time with him. Follow him. Just go after him. Turn on some worship music. Read your word. Let God speak to you from these pages. I don't know about you, but I was the guy that chased and I wanted a man to tell me. I would go to conference after conference going, I need some pastor that I respect to tell me this is what you're doing. And I thank God he didn't, because I would have done anything. I don't even want to guess what I could have been doing. Who knows? But I just wanted to know. And I really feel like God says, look, you just follow me. No man has to tell you. If you seek first me, all these things will be added unto you. Amen? That's what he's telling us. If we just go back to him. So we're running out of time today because all my stories, right? So we're going to get ready to close in just a few moments. But I want to ask you guys a question. What is God calling you to sacrifice today? I just want you to, just to think about it for a moment. Are there any areas in your life where you're like, man, God, I know I could give you more in this area. God, I know that I'm not giving you my all. I don't know about you, but man, there's a few that come to mind for me. God just wants you guys. God wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to do amazing things in your life. I'm telling you, when I look back, and the reason I share my story all the time is because, like, I'm amazed at what God has allowed me to do on this planet. I really am. I'm so blessed. And I'm like, the only thing I got right was saying yes to Jesus. And let me tell you what, I fumbled the bag the whole way. I've turned my back on church. I've quit church. You name it, I've probably been there. And I think Pastor Steph even alluded last week talking about David. Like, David messed up. But the one thing David always got right is he went back to his father. Every time he knew, he's like, man, I'm going back. I blew it here, but guess what? I'm going back. He knew how to get things back on track. And I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes in my life, like more than I would like to admit, I just have to reset. And like, man, you just got off course here. And this is coming from a guy that works at a church, okay? Like we're still fighting that same battle, guys. The enemy's still playing right here, right between our ears, right? He's like, it's all right if you don't pray today. It's cool. You don't have to read today. Man, it's a beautiful day. You don't have to go to church today. And again, I'm not saying you have to do anything, but I'm telling you, how good do you want your seats to be? You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you want to take this relationship with Jesus you're on? Because if you've accepted him, like I said, we're all going to end up in heaven. It's almost like when it comes to basketball, like we're all on the team. What kind of player do you want to be? You know? God is calling us. And for some of us, it looks different. You know, Bible says, work out your own salvation. What that means is, again, God may be, again, speaking to you and saying, hey, I need you to sacrifice in this area right now. I'm trying to do something in your life, and this is what I need for you. I'm calling you to a fast. Social media, TV, food, whatever that looks like. Why? Because God is trying to do something in your heart and your life. Realize it's not a cookie cutter explanation for everyone, because we're all on a different journey in a different place. But I want you to know that sacrificing is a part of this journey. It's not, God, you saved me, thanks, I'll catch you later. Like, I mean, it can be, but it really shouldn't. Because you're really missing out on everything God has for you. You know, our sign, God has more. We believe it. We believe that no matter where you're at in your walk today, that God has more for you. You may be telling me, Pastor Mike, I'm the closest I've ever been to the Lord. Guess what? There's more. You may say, I'm the furthest I've ever been. I don't even know if I believe this. Someone drugged me here, and what are you doing? Hey, he's got more for you too. Like, no matter where we find ourselves at today, we serve a God who loves us and has a plan for us and is anointing us and calling us to do something that's bigger than ourselves, that's going to affect more people than just us. Amen? There's going to be stories, we may not hear them all till heaven, of people that rode that train and heard the gospel for the first time. And you're going to think, I played a part in that. How awesome is that? Man, I was making pizzas. I was serving nachos. But guess what? At the same time, someone was hearing the love of Christ for the first time. And their life was forever changed. And what's crazy is not just their life. All of a sudden, now their kids know who Christ is. And now their kids, I'm telling you, this is a generational thing that we can change here. But what is this? By us sacrificing for your own family today. Your marriage isn't as good as it could be. I'm telling you. I ain't no expert, but I'm telling you this. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord together. And I'm telling you, guys, we got to suck it up, because we don't want to hear that sometimes. But we need to pray with our wives. We're too busy. I get it. But I'm telling you, it's what do we want out of this? Amen? Like, what kind of life do we want to live? Like, what do we want our kids to value? Coming to the house of the Lord is important. Come on, we're coming. We're going to church today. Well, it's important that you learn the things of God. It's important that you understand faithfulness is something to fight for. Man, I'm going to sacrifice sleeping in, because it's important to hear the word of the Lord today. That God is giving a word to our pastors each and every week to bring forth to his church. Man, if you call this place home, let's go. If you call this place home, I'm telling you, I need you to serve on a team. I really do. I'm sorry, I do. I need you to get involved, because God wants to use you, not only for you, but for someone else. I want you serving at the train. Well, I want you to see what it looks like when the body of Christ comes together around one common goal and say, we're going to tell the world, everyone that comes to this property, about Jesus Christ. And we all get to play a part in that. Amen? I'm telling you, it's important, guys. Sacrifice, I'm telling you, is a part of this journey. Salvation is free. But how far do you want to go? How good do you want your seats? What kind of player do you want to be? What do you want God to really do in your life? Don't be like me and spiritually be afraid to take your shirt off. You know, that's questionable. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, where do we want to go with this thing? Because it's totally up to us. The Bible says there's nothing we can do to separate us from the love of God. Your best day, your worst day, God loves you the same. Nothing's going to change that. But what do you want your walk to look like, church? What do you want your relationships to look like? When you walk in, people see the glory of the Lord in your life because you spent time with him and you've sacrificed those things. And this is what happens. A lot of times we see people doing great things and we're like, man, they came out of nowhere. No, no, they've probably been working the whole time. We just didn't notice and we didn't see it. Amen. If you would stand with me, I want to pray with you guys today. And if you would, as you're standing, just close your eyes right where you are. There's a couple things we want to pray about this morning. One, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you know, we're talking about giving and going. And maybe you're in this room and right now you just need to give. Maybe you feel like you're in a place in your life where, you know what, man, God, I don't even really know you. Maybe you're in this room and you're going, God, I used to give everything for you and now I'm just going through the motions. I'm telling you, he loves you and he wants to restore you right where you are. Maybe you're in this room today and you're going, man, God, I just want to, God, open up my eyes and show me the things that are getting in the way of me and you. Sometimes in relationships, we've got to find those things that are getting in between you and that person. In this case, it's you and your creator. What are those things that need to go, God? And it may be forever, but it may just be for a season for us to bring that closeness back the way that you've intended. So as we get ready to pray today, first, if there's anyone in this room and you would say, man, I really want to give my life to Christ or renew my life with him, could you just put your hand up and you can raise it right back down? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, if you would pray with me today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross in our place. Ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me brand new today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, church, I want to do one more prayer for you guys. For those that are in this room and you go, you know, there's some things that I need to give up. There's some sacrifices that need to be made. Remember, it starts in here. It starts internally of you going, you know what? You're right. You know what? For some of us, it's like, you know what? Church is going to be a priority. I need to get to the house of the Lord for me. I need to get here so I can be encouraged in this worship. I need to get here so God can speak to me through this word. Man, there's some things I'm doing that's just, God, they're just interrupting my relationship with you. God, point those things, highlight those things in my life so I can move them. Because God, I want you. I don't want to lose my first love. I want to go back to that time, God, when it was me and you against the world. Amen. So whatever those things are in your life, I want you to declare them to the Lord as I pray, that he would remove those things and take those things out of your life, and that you would be as close as you've ever been to him. Amen.